The blessings and peace of God be with each of you on this second Sunday of the Pentecost season, which celebrates the birth of the Church of Jesus Christ. As a part of the Church of our Lord Jesus, we look forward to once again assembling in person beginning next Sunday morning, June 14th, with services at 8:30, 9:45, and 11 o'clock. Please call the church office at 816-436-0462 or email Carol at office@berrychristianchurch.com by the Thursday prior to each Sunday. This will register you for your preferred worship time. We are limited to about 60 people in each service under the required 6-foot distance policy. Please also be aware that all the guidelines we are required to follow during these times of COVID-19 are available to you. They have been communicated on the front page of our website by emails, letters, and telephone calls. Unprecedented has become a well-worn word used to describe the incomprehensible circumstances experienced by so many since the onset of this spring season of 2020. And now, as summer approaches, the coronavirus has been eclipsed by the violent offenses of God's children toward one another, coupled with destruction of property that hinders even more livelihoods. Polarizing sides are contrasted with acts of solidarity and compassion. We grieve in this era of painful suffering and distrust, while yet hoping for a more equitable future. I find myself mystified by the déjà vu of 1968 as it compares to this year of 2020. Then as now, anxiety prevails as violence has filled city streets. On April 4th in 1968, Martin Luther King Jr. was assassinated in Memphis, Tennessee. Violence and destruction erupted in the streets of cities across the nation. On Memorial Day of 2020, George Floyd was choked to death while held in police custody in Minneapolis, and violence and destruction erupted in the streets of cities across the nation. As a 10-year-old child in 1968, I watched the violence on the television news with my grandfather and wondered if there would be much left of a trustworthy or safe society by the time I became an adult. As a 62-year-old adult in 2020, I watched the violence on the television news and wonder at times if there will be much left of a trustworthy or safe society for our grandchildren. Then as now, we are excited about the cooperative endeavors of the technically minded, as their combined skills have sent men beyond the earth in rocket ships. In 68, Apollo 8 sent 3 men around the moon for the very first time. Astronaut Bill Anders on Christmas Eve of that year took the iconic photograph called Earthwise. The visually captivating photo, known the world over, showed everyone that Mother Earth is our only true home amid the blackness of space, that there are truly no borders noticed as Earth rises from the crest of the moon's surface. This past weekend, we watched 2 astronauts rocket flawlessly toward the International Space Station. They marked the first manned commercial endeavor that dropped the cost of lifting 1 ton of goods into space from $27,000 per pound during NASA's space shuttle era to $2,500 per pound by SpaceX. And SpaceX hopes that cost may be in a few years as little as $5 a pound, meaning safe and efficient transportation off our planet's surface will then truly become commonplace. Even as scientists the world over cooperatively endeavor to speedily find a cure for the coronavirus that plagues us all, we wonder still if we humans will ever be capable of serving and caring for one another with the level of respect and regard that surely our Creator intends for us, one and all. Back in 1968, on Sunday mornings, I sat in awe of God, looking up at the vastness of our church's sanctuary ceiling. Although I didn't quite understand everything our pastor spoke about, I was certain that being in the Lord's house offered comfort amid the troubles. In this spring season of 2020, I find myself privileged to pause for a few moments in our congregation's sanctuary. In the quietness, I long for your presence, the joy of your smiles and laughter, the assurance of God's spoken word. Yet, I am certain that being in the Lord's house offers comfort amid the troubles. Then as now, the deja vu of 1968 and 2020 offers pause for many, as we may well wonder. Will humanity ever discover avenues of truth, justice, and peace as God genuinely intended? After all, God still seeks people's sincere repentance, peace, and justice for all his children. For God declared through the prophet Hosea in Hosea chapter 6, verses 5 and 6, "What I want from you is plain and clear. I want your constant love, not your animal sacrifices. I would rather have my people know me than to burn offerings to me." Drawn to the scriptures, we are reminded that even as Jesus formed his ministry team, he had a remarkable way of bringing radically diverse people with very polarizing ideologies under the wings of his vision of faithfulness to God. Persons who would have easily declared themselves as enemies of one another had they simply seen one another on the streets of Palestine. We know that the majority of Jesus' apostles were from the salt of the earth working class of the Galilean fishing industry. But then there was also Matthew the tax collector, a Jew whose civil servant status for the Roman government would have branded him a traitor. And then there was Simon the Zealot. He was a Canaanite rather than a Galilean. But even more significantly, as a zealot, he would have believed that violent guerrilla tactics that took the lives of Roman authorities was justified. For the Romans were the oppressive enemy that needed to be overthrown so that Israel could once again gain the status as an independent state. And then, of course, there was Judas the betrayer, whose self-serving motives certainly set him at odds with the truth of Christ's teaching of love for one another. Despite these contradicting ideologies, however, these men put their differences aside and were drawn into mutual fellowship with our Lord Jesus. What was it that kept them bound together? Surely it was Christ's compelling compassion for each of them. His vision of love for all humanity melted away their opposing ideologies. There no longer were labels that categorized them into warring camps. Instead, Christ's great love prevailed. As we read the 13th chapter of the Gospel of John, Jesus has completed the Last Supper and has parting words to offer his disciples before he heads to the Garden of Gethsemane and ultimately to the cross. It's the last time Jesus has to speak earnestly with his apostles before his crucifixion, and Jesus uses this precious time to convey the truth of genuine love toward others. In the Bible, the root word for love is used over 500 times from Genesis through Revelation. It is used 12 times in John chapters 1 through 12. But in John's Gospel chapters 13 through 21, Jesus uses this root word for love 45 times. Even as he faces the terror of the cross, Jesus wants, more than anything else, to encourage his followers to care for one another. Jesus begins by saying in John 13, verse 34, "And now I give you a new commandment, to love one another." New doesn't mean different, for loving others had already been an emphasis of the Old Testament. Leviticus 19, verse 18 states, "Love your neighbor as yourself." And in Deuteronomy 6, verse 5, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, and with all your strength." But new in John 13, verse 34 means fresh, a rethinking of an old concept. The updated commandment is to love one another. Not just God, not just those neighbors close to you, but one another. Those who are different because of varied values, backgrounds, affiliations, as were Jesus' disciples, fishermen, a tax collector, a zealot, women of means willing to share their resources for the good of others. They were the others, yet they were all followers of Jesus. But as Jesus gives this new command to love one another, what kind of love is Jesus talking about? The Greek word is agape. It simply means to seek the highest good for others. And Jesus encourages his disciples to seek the highest good for others as he had modeled the same behavior toward them and toward others throughout his ministry. At the beginning of the Last Supper, Jesus washed his disciples' feet. He took on the role of a servant to render a benefit to each of his disciples. But Jesus served so many, seeking the highest good for those in need. Jesus gave sight to blind Bartimaeus, raised the widow's son so she could have a new lease on life and not be plundered by a life of poverty. Jesus raised Jairus' daughter so that a new hope could arise from a new generation. The lepers were cleansed from their illness so they could be reunited with their families. On and on, Jesus compassionately sought out the highest good for others. And as Jesus asked his disciples to seek the highest good for each other, he is also asking us to do the same. For on in John chapter 14, verse 12, Jesus goes on to say, "I am telling you the truth. Whoever believes in me will do what I do. Yes, he will do even greater things because I am going to the Father." Can the love of Christ somehow be even greater in us as we seek the greatest good for one and all? Surely this is the Christ-like challenge we face each and every day, as we make decisions great and small. The words we use, the behaviors we portray as we interact with one another as fellow citizens of the United States, or even more importantly, as citizens of the kingdom of God here on earth. For Jesus said to the Pharisees in Luke's gospel what he also says to us today: "The kingdom of God does not come in such a way as to be seen. No one will say, 'Look, here it is,' or 'There it is,' because the kingdom of God is within you." Certainly, Jesus knew that not only seeking out, but living the highest good for all people begins and ends by the way everyone chooses to treat one another in all ways, great and small. Living the highest good involves the courtesy of holding the door for the next customer while entering the Quick Trip. Living the highest good involves the maintenance of laws and order that seek after justice for one and all, regardless of race, creed, or gender. Living the highest good for all is what Christ offers and expects from each of us who claim to be his followers. It's not easy, as Jesus' disciples surely understood, but it is that which believers must strive for each and every day as we await the day in which God will call all his children unto himself in his eternal realm. I look forward to seeing you in the Lord's house next Sunday, or on a future Sunday in which you may feel safe to share in worship and fellowship with us. As I mentioned, please call or email the church office and indicate to Carol which worship service you may wish to attend by the Thursday prior to each Sunday. This will help us acquire an accurate listing and help us keep within the 60 count as required by the social distancing protocols. Please understand the guidelines we are required to follow, as we will strive to offer a safe, worshipful environment for all in attendance. Blessings to each of you as we seek the highest good for one another and thus discover Christ's hope for God's kingdom here on earth.